my son Matthew has hit all kinds of milestones lately. The most obvious one was one day he is riding his bike with training wheels, and the next day he is not. His vocabulary is through the roof. He's starting to get up on his own and get ready for school, at least with a little less prompting from me. But literally, just a week or two ago, none of that was true. You know, by default, we assume that growth is linear. Each day we grow more and more and more and mature more and more and more, but it's not. One day there's a burst of milestones and then seemingly no growth at all for a season. Nothing seems to change, nothing seems different, and then all of a sudden Matthew is completely capable of things I never thought he was capable of. In some areas there's more growth than others. We make the same assumptions about spiritual growth, by the way. We assume that if we were a Christian 10 years ago, we should be 10 years more spiritually mature. But it doesn't work that way. The Apostle Paul certainly saw the journey as a progression. In Romans 5, he says that perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And by the way, that's in the response to suffering. In Romans 8, he says, those that God called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. There's a clear understanding from Paul that spiritual journey has stages to it, has steps to it, has prompting from the Holy Spirit for growth and struggle and challenge, and we don't always get it right. In fact, Paul even called himself one of the worst of sinners and said things like, the things I want to do, I don't, and the things I don't want to do, I do. So even he understood that there's spiritual growth involved. There's areas of our life that are stronger. There's areas of our life that seems like we haven't grown in forever. And then all of a sudden, we have all this spiritual depth that we don't know where it came from. There's probably different ways to categorize this, but there are four stages of spiritual growth that I am borrowing from Robert Mulholland's book, Invitation to a Journey. Highly recommend that read, by the way. I will take a deeper, closer look at each of these over the next few weeks on this Devo, but here they are. Awakening, which is basically where you encounter God for the first time. You are literally spiritually awakened to who he is. What he called purgation, which is repentance. It's turning away from sin that you're completely aware of. You know this is wrong, you don't do it. Illumination, which is turning towards, it's buying in and an increased devotion to what God wants you to do. So it's not only are you turning, removing sin from your life, but you're actually growing towards who God wants you to be. And then a fourth stage that he called union, where your heart is sold out on what it is and who it is that God wants you to be. You are all in. Completion is the way to think about it. Wesley talked about moving on towards perfection, at least in the intent of your heart. And so there are things where there are areas of our life where we've turned our back on a particular sin, and now we are all in on the way God wants us to live and the way God wants us to act. And we have reached a completion of our heart's attitude toward that. On one hand, this describes the whole spiritual journey. A person encounters God, becomes a Christian, repents of their sin, turns toward following God, and one day when we go to heaven, we become perfect again. So on a macro level, these stages describe what our spiritual journey looks like. But they're also how we grow in different areas of our life. Micro areas of our spiritual life. Remember, growth is uneven and all over the place, and different levels of maturity and different levels of change. There was a student that I had the privilege of discipling several years ago who came to Christ one summer, and the next summer looked at me in the eye and said, you know what, Charlie, I don't think marijuana is part of following Jesus, to which I gladly agreed. But the point is, this student had been on a spiritual journey and called themselves a Christian for the better part of a year. And that was when they suddenly decided, hey, I don't think marijuana smoking as part of the faith walk. I encourage that thought to turn their back on that. That at that moment in their spiritual walk is when God said, okay, we're going to deal with this. We've been dealing with other things, but that was a moment of awakening for that student that this is a sin that I need to turn my back on, to repent, to purge out of my life. And then as that struggle with that particular sin goes, the heart change towards it becomes, I really want to live in a way that honors God, and I really am never going to pick this stuff back up again. In other words, any particular sin can go through these four stages as well. Just like physical growth, our spiritual growth isn't linear. It's all over the place. And here's another part. It is different from person to person. Some people grow faster spiritually than others. Some people grow faster spiritually in certain areas than others. Romans 14, 1 through 3 in our New International Version says it this way. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Now, what in the world is Paul talking about eating? Is it a sin to not eat a vegetable? No, of course not. But they were struggling with the fact they were eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols, and some Christians felt convicted that they should not be doing that. And others didn't sense that conviction or feel that way. And so Paul's talking about, don't look down on somebody because you can handle that particular thing and it's not a big deal to you. Also, don't consider yourself more spiritual because you've turned your back on a particular sin and this other Christian has not yet. In other words, they're at different points in their spiritual journey, and verse 3, God has accepted them anyway. The Holy Spirit is dealing with them differently. Some people are gifted at staying away from certain sins. It's just not even a temptation. And other sins, they cannot stay away from. It's uneven. It's all over the place. It's from point A to point B, and it's a huge mystery. For a long time, I enjoyed canoeing, and sometimes the rivers would be incredibly slow. And when they were, you'd start looking. I think our campground or our pullout point is around the next bend. Nope, not around that bend. It's got to be around the next bend. And what you discover is you get around one part of the river and the river keeps going. And there's another bend to get past that you can't see past it. Spiritual growth is the same way. It's like walking towards the horizon. You can see it, but when you get to it, it just keeps on going. From bend to bend, from horizon to horizon. The Bible's understanding of mystery is very different from our own. We think mystery, we think whodunit show over in 45 minutes, CSI solves the case, move on to the next episode. Mystery has a nice tight bow on it, it's solved, it's over, it's behind us. Our Bible's understanding of mystery is that once you discover one truth, you realize there's more truth to be discovered. Once you discover one truth, you realize there's only more truth to come. God is love is a truth. It's a spiritual scripture. It's true. We can hang our hat on it. But does that mean, does God love everybody? Does God love everybody the same? If God is present, if love is present, does that mean God is present? In other words, the truth, God is love, and offers out a whole new set of questions to explore. Just because you've mastered one particular area of your spiritual walk doesn't mean you're done. Spiritual growth is not only uneven and all over the place. It only takes you deeper and deeper and deeper. It's not static. It's going somewhere. You're going to the next bend. You're going to the next horizon. You're going from one mystery to the next mystery. Once you get a handle on faith, There's this whole other thing called sanctification. What does that look like? There's, once you understand God's covenants and what he does with us and how he operates with us, that only opens up more questions. Once you understand how to be saved, then you start asking other questions about, well, then how do, can you lose your salvation? Spirit, Bible's understanding of mystery is the truths of God are endless. And we just take them deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. If you think about this, this explains so much of our spiritual experience. It's why one day we feel like a super Christian, and the next day we fall into the sin we've always struggled with. It's why sitting on the pew next to you is a person who hasn't figured it out, and you can't understand why they can't see it the way you see that particular spiritual truth, because they're just not there yet. Or the Holy Spirit just has not said to them, hey, this is something that needs to change. But we're all on the same journey from horizon to horizon together. In spurts, with long periods of nothing seems to change, with huge, rapid, rampant, radical spiritual change, with different gifts, with different strengths, with different convictions. It's a people of God on a journey together in all different kinds of places. Some of us just waking up to spiritual truth. Some of us all in on the way God wants us to live. And it's why we're not meant to do this journey alone. So where are you on your spiritual journey? What area of life is God's Spirit prompting you to take the next step? Are you all in on how God wants you to live in one area of your life, but you're still carrying it, carrying sin with you like a trusty backpack in another? Let me pray for that growth. God, as we listen to this morning and think about this, we realize that we're not complete yet. That our life is not completely united with you yet. That we're already saved, but we're not yet complete. And so I pray for our spiritual journey. I pray that you would prompt us to take the next step that makes us more and more like you. And God, for those of us, the next step is a complete, ridiculous, overwhelming, almost insurmountable challenge. I pray that you would give us the courage to not make that step alone. And remind us that we really are never alone in this journey, that it is you who is at work in our heart all along the way. In Christ's name, amen.